Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northland International University. And Doc, we are right in the middle of a series that we've entitled The Glory of the Cross. And we've been talking about the fact that really in modern day evangelical Christendom and even in our own lives, we have come to the place where we like the cross and we put it up on the buildings where we worship. We have it engraved on the covers of our Bibles. We even wear jewelry that is made in the shape of the cross. But in a lot of ways, we aren't willing to submit to the demands of the cross, and we recoil from it. And we've been talking about that in our own life. And really, as we were making our way through the broadcasts, we talked about the fact that Paul makes clear that the cross is the center and the ground of our justification. And you took us through four words, and those words were propitiation, redemption, justification, and reconciliation. And in our last broadcast, we kind of parked on that idea of Christian reconciliation and how that was accomplished for us by the cross of Christ, and how we've been made ambassadors, given a ministry of reconciliation to the world and to other Christian brothers. And we want to kind of move now to the second major idea that Paul talks about when he causes us to think about the cross, and that is that the cross is not just the ground of our justification, it is actually the means of something else. It's the means of our sanctification. And you and I were talking before the broadcast, and we looked at a passage out of Romans chapter 5. In fact, I'd like to read that and then maybe have you show us how that really fits what we're talking about today. But Paul said in Romans 5 that if we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so he talks there about reconciliation, and then he goes on to say that the cross is also central to the idea of being saved by his life. What does that mean?
Well, I believe that is a reference to not only are we saved and sealed, now we are, while we are in this life, empowered by him to walk in that new life.
Mm-hmm.
A good parallel passage would be 2 Peter chapter 1, adding to your faith. Mm-hmm. Don't be satisfied just the fact that you're reconciled, that you've been redeemed, that propitiation satisfied the wrath of God, that you have had the gavel dropped and declared not guilty. Now what am I going to do? How then shall we live based on what has been done for us? And Paul very clearly says that if a man be in Christ, he is a new creation.
Right.
Old things pass away and all things are becoming new. And so now how do I walk in this new life? What's the living proof that I indeed have the Spirit of God dwelling within me?
And that is the progressive development of Christ-likeness in me.
Yeah, and I think that's what we would call sanctification, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. process of sanctification that begins with us. Paul acknowledged, he said, I have not attained, either were already perfect, but this mm-hmm. one thing I do. He had a pursuit that until the rapture, until the upward calling, he was going to stretch to that finish mark with every mm-hmm. ounce of his being.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we need to have beyond our salvation. What are we doing in a stretching forward with every ounce of our being? How are we living this new life?
I heard somebody define sanctification this way, and I've never really forgot it, but and it's probably not the full-orbed, you know, theological aspects of it, but it was a very simple definition, and it went like this: sanctification is becoming more like Christ and less like the world.
Well, that's a good summary. More like Christ and less of me.
Right.
Because we wake up very prominent every morning with ourselves.
Yeah, we sure do.
And I like when John the Baptist made the statement, I must
decrease.
He must increase. And I remember one time sitting at a counter reading my Bible when we were in a meeting somewhere and I was out having coffee. And I was reading that passage and I drew a he, H-E. But on the left side of the H, I drew a real tall left side of that H, which was a big I. And I said, here's how I am. God has to chip away at that big tall I until it, the left side of the H matches the other side of the H.
Right.
And all you see is he. But it is God using circumstances to chip that big I away. And that's what John the Baptist was saying. I must decrease. He must increase. Because we wake up every day with a big I that has to be resubmitted and begin that word in us. And the word is that source of our sanctification.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There can be no sanctification except for the cleansing of the word that is within us.
Well, probably the verse that comes to mind as the central passage of the cross's role in Christian sanctification is what Paul wrote in Galatians 2, verse 20. And let me read the verse, and then maybe you can kind of unpack some of the meaning to that verse. But it's a very familiar verse, and it highlights both aspects of the work of sanctification, God's part in that and my part in that. And they meet at the cross, which is very interesting that we've been talking about this, because there are people today who are saying the cross really is not central to Christian sanctification. And in essence, I think Paul's answer to that would be in Galatians 2:20, when he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
And that is, Paul was saying there, I have been crucified. In other words, that was done for me by him. In other words, Paul was not saying, I have done this, but this was done. And that tense, I have been crucified with Christ, was that finished action in the past with a continuing result.
Now, let me stop there, Doc, and ask this question, because I think, you know, if I were listening to our broadcast, I would ask the question, now, how did that happen? I mean, how did I get crucified with Christ?
Well, study Romans chapter 6, where he goes through, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that God, grace may abound? God forbid. In other words, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's a very key statement there. How do we get dead to sin? And it has to identify with the cross, I have crucified with him. I die daily. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now we're starting to see the visible death, burial, resurrection, what immersion pictures. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now we see it's what was done, but now how are we going to live?
Access that, yeah.
For if we have been planted, okay, now this is not like it hasn't happened, but since we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, what do I acknowledge?
Mm-hmm.
And there's three things, what I acknowledge, what I appropriate, and how I act. And I think this is all tied in with this.
Right.
I have been crucified with Christ, knowing this. Okay, now Paul is addressing in Romans 6 and verse 6, what do I acknowledge? That our old man is crucified with him. Okay, I acknowledge that. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I acknowledge when Christ died, I died. I was in him. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also should live with him. So not only was I in Christ in death, in Christ in resurrection, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not only do I acknowledge that the old man is crucified, I reckon that, I count that, I appropriate that fact to my life. Ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, which is then my action.
Mm-hmm.
So I acknowledge, in Christ I died. I acknowledge, in Christ I raised. I acknowledge sin is no more to have dominion over me. Therefore I am to appropriate the fact that I have the Spirit of God dwelling within me. I have victory within me. Therefore, I can act in victory, not in defeat, because I have God, the third person of the Trinity, living within me.
And what you're saying, we appropriate all of these things, I acknowledge, I appropriate, and therefore I act, is what you mean by union in Christ.
Exactly. Because there's a hortatory here. Let us not sin, therefore. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members. That's a mental assent. Mm-hmm. Yielding is a mental assent to these drives that are within me. But what I have is I have the victory within me if I appropriate that victory. And so when you look at, like Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. In other words, he said, I'm crucified with him, but I'm living. But the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, and it's not by me.
That's that whole appropriating, acknowledging thing you're talking about.
And I believe it's very crucial for us to tie in that Romans 6 passage, because then Paul goes into the next chapter of the struggle that he fought.
And that's an everyday struggle.
Finally, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Mm-hmm. I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ that that victory was won.
Let me ask this, as we think about this, in that whole context of Romans 6 and 7 and Galatians 2, where Paul talks about being crucified with Christ, the whole idea of mortifying our flesh is a key part to Christian sanctification. Is that a fair statement? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I believe so. But it's a choice that I now make. I have to determine to what or to whom am I going to yield.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, there is a yielding of these parts of my body. The body is simply a cooperator. It's not a causer. The body doesn't cause anything. Mm-hmm. The body simply cooperates with the impulses of the mind.
So I've got to crucify or mortify my sinful carnal desires, just like God crucified his Son to free me from those.
Yes. And this body is simply a house.
Right.
That responds to the dictates of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a funeral, I don't care what you tempt that guy with in that box, he is not going to respond.
Yeah.
Same body he lived in all of his life. Same body that responded to the yeas and the nays. Same body that responded to the temptations. It's not the body. It's that shell. But now, what was the causer of that? I have to choose. Am I going to reign? No, I mean, who is going to reign in my being?
Yeah.
A lot of times people will come and ask advice. I'd like to know God's will for my life. And I said, I know God's will for your life. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God for you. I said, you cannot get anything more plain than that, even your sanctification.
Mm-hmm. And that's really where we're going to pick up the broadcast when we start next time, because I want to keep talking about the cross as an essential means to Christian sanctification. But it will have to be in the next broadcast, because we're all out of time on this one. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.